turn to hymn number 447. If you want to see the parts, trust and obey. We've enjoyed from the past. We will glorify.
hear you. Louder than the noise, I want to feel you. Closer than the air that I breathe. Deep within my soul burning. Speak to me, let my heart be awakened by the whispering of love. Pull me close to your heart. Let the silence now be filled with your voice. Found in surrender. My heart is fully yours, caught in the moment. Captivated by the unseen. Your loving heart for me revealed. Speak to me, let my heart be awakened by the whispering of love. Pull me close to your heart. Let the silence now be filled with your voice. The words I hear you say, you've been speaking out for all of time. All of time, the words I hear you say, you've been speaking out for all of time. All of time, the words I hear you say, you've been speaking out for all of time. All of time. You're with me, you're for me, you have a plan for me, and I will never walk alone. You're with me, you're for me, you have a plan for me, and I will never walk alone. Speak to me, let my heart be awakened by the whispering of love. Pull me close to your heart, let the silence now be filled with your voice. Speak to me, let my heart be awakened by the whispering of love. Pull me close to your heart. Let the silence now be filled with your voice. Filled with your voice.
Amen. That's exactly what we want to talk about this morning in the Word of God. And as you have your Bible with you, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 26. Now, like I said, today's been one of those days where we have some technical difficulties. And the main reason why is because we had a soundboard that went out on us. And there's a whole bunch of channels they try to juggle back there with sound and everything. But God's still keeping us going. We're still patching back together at will, but we appreciate you bearing with us today. You know, Lynn just sang about the fact that God speaks to us. He speaks to us in many ways. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through messages. He speaks to us through godly people. And there are many ways that the Lord speaks to us. But there's one thing I need for us to understand for us today. God wants us to understand this more than anything. He speaks to us, but He has an expectation that we listen to what He has to say. How many of you have ever had somebody look at you and say, "Look, you're not listening"? Okay, you're hearing me. It wasn't that you weren't hearing the voice; you just weren't listening. Now, a lot of us would sit back and try to get technical. We would try to split hairs on that one, and we would sit back and say, "Well, yeah, I heard what you were saying." See, what the concept of what they're trying to present to us is, we are not reacting in a fashion or in a manner that they think that we heard what they were saying. Yeah, kind of like that situation where you get, once again, we have a failure to communicate. You're not hearing what I am talking about. Now, here's something that I need for you to understand today. God is speaking to you. The question is, are you listening? And this is where we're going to get involved in the Scripture today. You know, when we get into this particular passage of Matthew 26, there are a lot of interesting things that were going on, that were taking place, that were leading up to that. But we get to this particular point where Jesus is about to enter the time of what we know as the betrayal, the time that was going to begin the process that led Christ to Golgotha, to Calvary's Hill, the time when everything was about to culminate. Now, we're talking about hundreds or thousands of years that these things had been transpiring. When I say that, in the Old Testament days, they were looking for a coming Messiah, correct? That's what the prophets spoke about. The prophets talked about there would be a coming Messiah that would give His life, pick it back up, and save the people of their sins. So they had been looking for, or should have been looking for, a coming Messiah for a long time. Then we start to get into the New Testament, the birth of Jesus comes about, and people still were having issues realizing the Savior. The ones who should have seen Him, the ones who should have known that it was Him, should have, right out of the gate, been able to say, "I believe this could be the Messiah." The ones who were learned in Scripture, the ones who should have been the ones to be able to pinpoint Him immediately, didn't. We see evidence of that throughout the New Testament, that it says Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. And the reason why was because they didn't realize it was Him, or didn't want to realize it was Him. You see, sometimes you can find yourself in a rut. How many of y'all have ever found yourself in a rut in something? Yeah, I define a rut as a grave that's opened up on both ends. That's what it is. You're stuck just in this one particular way, this one particular area. I will bet you, and if you don't think you're in a rut, I'm going to go ahead and let you know this. Some of you all are as predictable can be. If you go to a certain restaurant, I can tell you what you're going to order, because you don't order anything different. If you go to this restaurant, you'll get this. If you go to that restaurant, you'll order something else. But you're predictable. You get yourself in a rut. Now, there's some people that eat the same thing every day. Now, who's going to sit back and say, "Yes, I could eat the same thing every day"? Hallelujah. I love y'all. Y'all are a little weird, but I love you. Me, I like variety. Listen, even if I have leftovers, I don't want them the next day, maybe two or three days out. Scrape the fuzz off of them, maybe then. But I don't want it. I do not want the same thing perpetually, because I like variety. Where are my variety people? You'll try all kinds of things. You might go away a little disappointed, but you'll at least try some things. Folks, let me tell you something. When you think you have God figured out, think again. When you think that you know what the answers are, think again, because you don't. And even if you sit back and say in your heart and your mind, "Hey, look, I've been down this road before. Here's how God worked. Here's how God delivered." You better think again. Let me give you an example. Remember old Moses? Remember him? Remember what God told him? God told him as he was going to be the instrument of God to provide water for Israel at that time, and he told him to strike the rock and water came out of it. And then sometime after that, he's going down that same path. Oh, I've been here before. I've seen this before. I know exactly what's going on. And God even told him, he said, I want you to go and I want you to speak to the rock. Moses messed that one up, didn't he? Because he didn't listen to what God told him to do. He just went with familiarity. Folks, familiarity can get you in a bind sometimes. So we have to be sure to pray. Now, what is the topic that we're going to talk about today? The topic is that we talk about the fact that we believe in prayer. Amen? You believe in prayer? You believe God answers prayer? Believe God speaks to you? Believe He speaks to you through His Word? The question is, are we going to be so hard-headed as we pray that we don't listen when we don't like the answer? See, for some odd reason, we've got this idea in our heart and in our mind that God is going to answer our prayers our way. And if that's what you got going on, listen, it's not going to work out that way. God expects us to listen even when it's tough. Even when it's what we don't want to hear. Even when it's not what we want to happen. Now, I'm going to give you an example of that. Example of that is the scriptures that we're looking at this morning that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. The betrayal is at hand. Jesus is gone. He knows what is taking place, and he got his three best. They're defined as his inner circle. He got three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he says, guys, this is a critical moment in my life. I need you to pray with me. So he takes them to this place that most of us have heard before called the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all have heard that one, right? Jesus tells his inner circle, you guys hang out here and I want you to pray. I'm going to go a little bit further because me and the Father need some really quality, painful alone time. But I want you to be praying for me. And they said, sure, no problem. Just as Jesus went on into the garden, and we're going to pick the passages up in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 36. It says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment, because how many times have we been sorrowful and deeply depressed, and we have gone into the presence of the Father? We need some answers. I would say if you have followed the Lord for any amount of time, you've been there. Lord, I don't want you to speak to me today. I need for you to speak to me today. I need for you to tell me what's going on. I need for you to tell me what is taking place. Lord, life is falling apart. My world is falling apart. I don't even know what to do. God, I need you to show up in my life. Have you been there? I need you. It's not a matter of want. At this point, it is critical. I need you to show up in my life. Notice verse 37 at the latter part of it. It says that he began to be sorrowful. This is Jesus. And deeply distressed. Verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He took his three best and he explained to them what was going on. He said, look, man, I'm in a pickle. I don't think that was Greek the way he said it, but you get the picture. There's tension. My soul is sorrowful. How many times has somebody come to you and maybe said that to you because they trust in you? They believe in you. They believe in your walk. And they said, listen, I need you to pray for me. I don't want you to pray. I need you to pray for me. Because I know that when you pray, God listens to what you have to say. You know, you've heard something like that before. And in this moment, Jesus didn't take all of the 12 with him. He took his three best. The three that he could count on. The three that he felt like would be right there at his side to do what he asked. And he says, look, my soul is sorrowful. He said, stay here and just, I want you to just pray for me. I want you to pray with me. Verse 39 says, he went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, what Jesus is talking about there as he's going into the presence of the Father is knowing that the cross is awaiting him. Knowing that he would be the instrument that would be able to provide forgiveness and salvation to all of mankind, past, present, and future. That's a pretty heavy load to carry, isn't it? He was facing that. You know, there's so many things in our lives that we might know that something that we dread is coming up, and we're sitting there going, oh man, I just don't want that day to arrive. I don't want that event to arrive or whatever. But you know how the tension starts to get there as you get closer to it. All of a sudden, you know, the nerves start to get more. All of a sudden, all the thoughts in your mind start to swirl around, and it just gets crazy for you, doesn't it? You even start to get the shakes and the nerves start getting there. Now, I'm not saying that was the predicament that Jesus was in, but Jesus had some really interesting things that he said to the Father during this time in the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul was very heavy, but he said, what did he say to him? He said, my Father, verse 39, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. What is that cup? That cup is the crucifixion. Jesus had seen crucifixion. In fact, crucifixion was out for all the public to see. They knew what was going on. Jesus knew what was involved in crucifixion, the pain, the suffering, and everything that went along with it. Yeah, he wasn't sitting there going, oh, goody, the crucifixion time's coming. It was a sense of dread. And he even went to the Father and he said, if there is another way, yeah, Is there some other way we can do this besides a crucifixion on a cross? Is there some other way? But notice how he ended that sentence prayer in verse 39. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In other words, Lord, it's not about me. That's a sermon in itself, and that's what I want you to get today. It's not about you, it's about him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's not about what I want, it's about what he wants. And often there will come times in our lives that there will be some things that he wants that are not things we want. Now I want you to consider Jesus. I want you to consider him in the garden. I want you to consider the fact that Jesus was thinking about the past, the present, as well as the future. And he's like, you know what? I'm not liking this plan. This plan doesn't look like what I want it to look like. But Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. It's not about my plan. It's about your plan. Verse 40 goes on to say, then he came to his disciples. After this moment of pouring out his heart to the Father, after this time of intense prayer, he takes a break. Verse 40, it says, then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. Now I want you to get that picture. Jesus has just poured his heart out to the Father. There's that stress. By the way, even though Jesus was 100% deity the whole time that he was on this earth, the whole time that he lived and breathed, he was born of a virgin, he was sinless for those 33 years, he still felt everything mankind felt. He felt pain. He felt physical pain. He felt hunger. He felt emotions. He knows all of the things that you and I face on a daily basis. He felt them too. And in the midst of that anguish, he's like, I got to take a break for a minute in my prayer life. Let me go check on my three best of the best. You know what? I got those three over there praying for. They've got my back. Y'all have heard that statement before, haven't you? They've got my back. So Jesus comes to him in verse 40. It says, then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Don't sound like they got his back, does it? Yeah, maybe he heard the snores. I don't know what it was. Yeah, maybe he just found them all passed out there, just sound asleep. And imagine what must have gone through his heart and through his mind. At the time that I need you the most, at the time when you are the best, you know, when I need you to shine forth your brightest, in the time I need you to do your best, you're out here sleeping. In the midst of my search, my situation, you are out here sleeping. And he says to him in verse 40, as he finds him sleeping, he says, and he said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Think about that for a moment. I mean, I can imagine him waking up Peter and saying, what are you doing? Couldn't you just pray with me for 1 hour? I mean, was that something complicated to ask of you? And a lot of us would sit back and say, you know what? We can be real spiritual when we sit in the Lord's house today. Or we can be real spiritual when we're, you know, when we're tuned in, and we can say, you know what? If that was the situation, I could probably pray for an hour. Could you? Remember what I've said before. I said, this is the Lord's day. This is not just the Lord's hour. Do we give him the time necessary? Do we just kind of blow through prayer because it's something we do habitually? Or do we go to God with heartfelt thanks? I've said this so many times before because it reigns true and it will always reign true. Until you're hungry, all of a sudden the value of the blessing for the food becomes a lot different, doesn't it? When you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from and God provided, you go to him with a kind of a different thanks, don't you? It's not, oh, Lord, thank you for the day, blah, 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 all the food, amen. You don't get to the point when you're halfway through it that you sit back and say, did we say the blessing? No. You remembered thanking God for the bounty that's before you right there because you've been hungry. Folks, I believe that God is going to make some of us hungry so that we're going to understand the value of his presence in our lives, the value of going to him in prayer, the value of listening to what God has to say. What? Verse 40, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Verse 41, he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many times have we even used that particular verse yet to justify something that we did or did not do? Well, yes, brother, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And we try to use that as some sort of an excuse. Listen, we've even been there with God before, where we've tried to say, Lord, I know I need to do better in my devotional life. I know I need to do better in my reading of the Bible. And Lord, tomorrow I'm going to do better. And you fell asleep. And you got up and you were like, fell asleep. Lord, tomorrow I'm going to do better. Help me out. Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Which one's going to win? And we just repeat that same scenario. Could you not wait with me 1 hour? He said to his disciples, watch and pray. Be alert. You know what watch means? Be alert. Folks, let me tell you, the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Remember when we talked about last week, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. It's not against one another. There is an invisible warfare that's going on in our lives. It's going on around us. And the Lord says, you better open your eyes. You need to watch, be aware of what is taking place, or you're going to get taken out just like that. Listen, I want it to be tough for Satan to take me out. How about you? I don't want to be an easy target. I don't want to be the lone antelope away from the herd when it comes, you know, when the lion all of a sudden attacks, because that's the one he's going to attack, the one's out there by himself. And Jesus said, can't you just watch and pray with me? Verse 42, again, a second time, he, being Jesus, went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father," this is verse 42, "if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Once again, Jesus goes and he said, "Lord, if there's another way, I'd certainly like for us to take that. But, you see, here's the big conjunction. It hooks two thoughts together. But, notice what he said, "Your will be done." Here's a modern day translation of "your will be done." It simply says this: "Lord, it's not about me, it's about you." It's not about what I want. You know what? I want a lot, don't you? See, sometimes we have differences between want and need. We kind of have trouble distinguishing those. There's a lot of things we want. There's very few things we need. And the Lord said he will provide all of our needs, not our wants. Jesus went back to the Father and he said, "You know what? I'm really not looking forward to this. But it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It is about what you want, Father." Listen, how many times in our lives have we had to undergo some things that we didn't particularly like and that we didn't particularly care for because it was the will of God? Now, some of you can sit back and go, "I can understand that." And some of you here have no clue. I hate to say that. Some of you don't have any idea what that's like. You know why? Because you've always done it your way instead of God's way. We've drawn lines. "Lord, I'm not doing that." I've seen it. I could come to you and tell you, "Listen, thus saith the Lord God." You don't think so? Think about this for a moment. Forgiveness. Does the Lord say that it's a good idea for you to forgive your neighbor? No. The Lord says it is a requirement. It is mandatory that you be a person who forgives, regardless of what they've done. And we sit back and go, "Nope, I'm justified. I have the right. I can hold this because of what they did." No. That is not, "Lord, your will be done." That is, "Lord, my will is going to be done." Now, I've said this before. There's a couple of kinds of people in the world. There are those who will say and pray that, "Lord, thy will be done." And then there are those that God says to have it your way. There is that permissive will of God. But let me make you a promise. It is not going to be a pretty road. Let me make a promise to you that you're not going to arrive at the destination that God really wants you to arrive at. And if you do, you're going to be beat up and you're going to be real sorry you didn't take his route. Because the reason he's got you on that route is it may seem like it's a little bit more difficult in the here and now, but he's keeping you from major pitfalls along the way on the road that is broad, because the Word of God tells us the broad road leads to destruction. It's the narrow road which leads to life, right? God's sitting there going, "Look, man, I've got the map. I know what I want to do. I know you don't like this. But can we say, 'Lord, you're right, I don't like it, but it's not about me. It's about you.'" Just like Jesus in the garden. "Lord, if there's a way for this cup to pass from me, man, take it away. But," the conjunction, "but it's not about me. It's about you. It's about your will. It is about your plan." So you know what? When we come to a prayer, sometimes we're really good and quick and easy to go to the Lord in prayer, to ask him to help us, to deliver us, to do this, do that, do the other thing. But are we willing and ready to accept the answers that he gives us? Sometimes it's one of those deals where we're like, "Lord, I need you to help me here. Just don't help me this way, or that way. I'm willing, Lord, I am willing to follow you anywhere except there, Lord, I want you to bless me, but don't bless him. Don't bless her. They're mean and nasty." God's like, "What's the matter with you?" Sometimes we get to where we want to pray David prayers. Remember David prayers? We've talked about those. Psalm 55. "Lord, listen, I don't even want you to kill them. I want you to send them alive to hell. Don't even kill them. I want to watch them burst into flame. I want to see them burn." We've been there. And Jesus is like, listen, that is not the attitude that I want my children to have. Was there ever a time in your life when your mom or dad said to you, I didn't raise you that way? Or maybe a time that you said to your children, I didn't raise you this way. That's not the son or the daughter I raised. The way you're doing, what you're saying, the way you're acting, I didn't raise you that way. You know what God says? We're children of God, aren't we? You know what God's saying? I didn't raise you that way. But God also has this other thing, too, that if God has a plan, God is going to perform his plan. See, there were times, too, that as I was growing up, that mom and dad had a plan, and it was we were going to perform their plan, even if I didn't like it. Even if I got drugged to the car, if I got drugged to church, if I got drugged here, drugged there, drugged to the family reunion, whatever you want to call it, I said, there are 10,000 other things I want to do. Nope, you're going to be with us. Yeah. Let me make this promise. And God won't say it like that. Well, maybe he will to you. He did to me. God will say this. It is your will against mine, and I will win. Plain and simple. I've got a plan. Listen, are we about the plan of the Master? See, when it comes down to praying, praying's great until we get the response that we don't like. Jesus was in that predicament, and he was like, Lord, is there another way? Listen, yeah, to pray a prayer like this demands that you surrender your soul. To pray this kind of prayer says, Lord, I understand that I'm not about me anymore. I'm about you. I'm one of your children, and it's all about you. It's not about me. These kind of prayers demand surrender of the soul. A prayer like we're reading that Jesus is praying here in Matthew chapter 26 is also a prayer that demands a total surrender. Have we totally surrendered to him? Or are we just picking and choosing what we want to be a part of? Lord, I'll tell you one thing. You know, I'm going to be your child and everything, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of this. You know, I get it, Lord. I'm one of your children, but I know what you say about tithing, but I'm not going to do that. Lord, I'm one of your children, and I know what you say about gathering together as your people, but I'm not going to do that. I have other things that are more important. Now, some of us just cringed at that thought. Really, somebody would actually say that there's something more important than that? Yeah, people do it all the time. Their actions talk about that. This is a prayer that demands surrender. It doesn't just simply ask for it. It demands it. Have you surrendered totally that it's about God's will and not yours? See, we don't like it when things aren't our way. We like to have our way, don't we? And all God's people said. See, we will try to convince people that our way is best, won't we? You'll see that all the time. You're driving down the road. Hey, where are you going? We're going to the concert. Why are you going this way? Well, that's because I feel like that's the best way. Oh, no, you should take this exit up here. Go to the left and then circle back around, and then what you're going to do is you're going to miss all that traffic. What makes you so sure? That's the way I go. Well, guess what? This is the way I go, and I'm driving. Now, some of us, now I know that that's simple. Some of us, we get a little flippant about it. Okay, we'll just sit in traffic for 3 hours, don't we? Okay, fine. Or that's what you get. You're just not listening to me. You're not doing it my way. You know what? Maybe not. But see, here's what we need to understand about God. God has the right set of directions, even when they're not ours. Even when we're sitting in the passenger seat going, we're going to be stuck in traffic all day. No, see, God already knows what the traffic's like. He already knows what the pitfalls are for. So when you hit traffic, you better understand that God already had that traffic planned out as part of the journey. And it might be something that's keeping you from something far worse than a few hours wait in some traffic. Lord, this is about you. My life is about you. My job is about you. My family is about you. My church is about you. The way we function and what we do is about you. So, Lord, help us to have your plan in every aspect of our life. Because, Lord, I have surrendered my soul to you. Lord, I have surrendered my will to you. To pray a prayer like this also demands dedication when others fail. You know, you've heard that old expression before. Sometimes you're going to be alone when you have to make that stand. Notice what happened. Verse 43 says, "And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." Verse 44, "So he left them and he went away, and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" You know, sometimes you're going to have to stand with dedication when everybody else fails you. When you counted on them the most and they let you down, you still got to stand. He found them asleep yet again. How easy is it to get in the flesh, to allow the flesh to take over? See, others are likely to fail us. And then what do we do? What do you do at that point? What do you do when the ones that you counted on the most fail you? What did Jesus do when his disciples failed? Well, did you notice the order? When he first noticed their failure, he went again a second time and prayed again. Verse 42. He went again a third time and he prayed. Verse 44. We must remain faithful to him, even when others fail. Because last time I checked, he's the one you'll answer to. Not the person sitting beside you, not your neighbor, not your preacher. You will answer to him about how you are about his will rather than your own. How you surrendered or how you didn't. How you walked with him or how you didn't. So the question this morning is, have you been resisting the will of God in your life? Have you been resisting the guidance and leadership of God in your life? If you have, are you willing to surrender it all? Remember the old invitation hymn? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely. Have we surrendered? I've said so many times, and I still remember that this will be forever etched in my mind, Desert Storm. At the end of Desert Storm, when news reports were out that the enemy was surrendering, and we were getting that frontline view of the enemy surrendering. And I still remember that they either had their hands up or they had their hands behind their head, and as they were marching, there were some close-up news footage of that. And as I watched those enemy soldiers, there was a lot of disparity on their face. There were a lot of tears. There was a lot of hurt in their eyes because they didn't know what the next step was going to be. Folks, surrender is not an easy thing. To surrender your will, to surrender your heart, to surrender everything that you are is not easy, but it is necessary. Because you know what? You will never understand that your bank account's not your bank account until you realize that it's God's. You will not understand that the time that you have been given on this earth is actually time that God has lent you to be about the Father's business, and it could be stopped at a moment's notice. Every day is a blessing. That means God has a plan and He's got a purpose for our life today. That's why we got up. Every one of us. But are we about the will of the Father? And here's something that I know. I know that I'm going to be in eternity far longer than I'm going to be right here on this earth. And I want to please the Father right now. Right now. Today. Listen, if that's not you, you can make that turn today by simply surrendering it all. Lord, it's all yours. My life, my job, my recreation, my church, my family, my plans, they're not mine anymore. They're yours. Take them. Help me to be a steward of what you have allowed me to be so blessed with. And Lord, help me not to be so hard-headed. And if Kim Bendigo's watching, he loves and laughs when I talk about the Old Testament days of those stiff-necked people. Some of us are, you can't even turn that neck. Because we're stubborn, aren't we? We're my stubborn people. Come on now. Hallelujah. I love truth. We're stubborn. Some of y'all just neighed. Yeah. Stubborn as a old mule. Well, if you're being that way with God, I promise you God will win. His will outlast yours. The first question I have for you is, have you trusted Him? Is He your Savior? Does He call you by name? Does He chasten you along the way? With giving your life to Him. Have you ever thought about that? Giving your life to Him. That means surrender, doesn't it? Saying, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. That's surrender, isn't it? But have we really surrendered? Listen, if you need Jesus, if you've never trusted Him, I'm just asking you right where you are, whether you're watching from home or wherever it may be, listen, just bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save my soul. And I promise you, if you meant that, He's done that. Now, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of the journey. He wants you to walk with Him. You just gave it all to Him and said, Lord, help me. This is all yours now. Help me manage it for you. And He will. Maybe today you have found yourself as the unfaithful steward, the strong-willed neighing donkey who has said, Lord, I'm not doing it. And today is the day God has called you to surrender your will to Him, to get on with His plan, to realize that it's not about you, it's about Him. What is it that you will do with that? As our invitation's about to take place, I call our musicians forward, and this is a time for you to do business with God. This is a time to make it right. Listen, now is the time. Don't let Satan win. Now is the time. If that's you and you know Him, you're just walking outside of His will, just where you are, say, Lord, I know I'm stubborn, but I'm coming home. Help me, Father. Help me. In Jesus' name. And listen, He'll do that. It's our invitation time. I'm going to ask that you just stand where you are. As we're led in our invitation time, this altar is here. I'll be down front. Whatever it is God's doing with you that you need to fix today, fix it. Now is the time. As an attitude of prayer, as we worship during our invitation time, you come. Thank you.
ask that as we just do this in an attitude of prayer one more time, as Brad and Lynn play one more verse of this, I pray that this will be your prayer, that, Lord, you would wash me white as snow as I carry this to you. As I ask our ushers, if they make their way down as an attitude of prayer, as they do one more verse of White as Snow, may this be our prayer to the Father. Father, we're grateful that our sins can be washed as white as snow. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice upon Calvary's cross that makes that possible. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of sin. And Lord, today we pray that as we come to you, we will truly be yielded to your will, that we will realize that you have a purpose and that you have a plan, and that we need to be about that plan. Father, for this offering, we ask that you would help us to be faithful, Lord, in so many ways. Lord, that you might bless us as we're faithful to the command to give back to you that portion that we have so richly been blessed with. And Lord, we also pray that that as we come into your house and as we gather around, that we will not do this simply that we might be blessed, but Lord, that your kingdom might go forward. Help us again, Father, to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jim and Amy. Beverly, I'm going to get Beverly to come on up here just to give us our reminder. We're getting into that time of the year again. It's a special time for our church, a lot of times for families as well as for those who will be receiving and be on the other end of these little boxes. Miss Bev's going to let you know a little bit about our process, what's going on, and where we stand, and she's going to whip you into shape right now, Miss Bev.
Good morning. It is time. There's a little bit of nip in the air this morning. We know it's not quite Halloween, but we're going to beat the stores. We're going to get Christmas out there first. It is time for our red and green boxes. This year, the goal for Operation Christmas Child is to deliver 9.5 million boxes. I want you to visualize for a minute Our two Sundays are November 7th and November 14th to collect here. Think about red and green up here on the stage. What you're really thinking about is a child that's been touched. A child that's going to learn about God. They're going to hear the gospel. Are they going to be excited to get those toys? They are. But ultimately, their lives are going to be changed because they're going to hear about Jesus. So that's what I challenge each one of us to do, is to begin praying. Praying for those boys and girls. Pray for their families that will hear the gospel of Christ. Can do it. There's always a few logistic things of how you do it and all that, but that's the ultimate thing, is to pray for each one of those children, that you have the opportunity. You know, the pandemic has taken away so many of us to go and to serve and to be on the mission field. Right, here's our opportunity to go. Whether we're going to Zimbabwe, we're going to Mexico, maybe to an undisclosed country, we're going as that shoebox, even though we may not leave Central Baptist here in Oak Ridge. So I challenge you to grab a few shoeboxes and to fill them up. As always, OCC tries to help us out each year to do. But there's always the brochures here that gives you the do's and the don'ts. You can't pack toothpaste, nor candy, or liquids, or anything that's military related. But it gives you also a good list of items that you can pack. After you've packed your shoebox, write a letter to your child. You never know, Ken and I did receive a letter back from our little guy 1 year. It was awesome. Put a picture of your family in there, but most of all, pray for that box. God's already matched it to somebody. Pray for that little boy or girl that you've chosen to get that box. This year, the labels are even easier. You know how we can go and we can follow our shoebox? Even the ones here, there's other labels that are just strips. You can cut it out. There's a barcode. So if you go online and pay, I always think about Miss Marcia. She likes her check, cancel check, to come back quick. Miss Marcia, pay online, and you don't have to write your check. When you do that, then your email is connected, and at the processing center, you're going to get an email of what country your shoebox is going to, just even further that you can pray for that boy and girl there of where you're going. So that's the first way we can serve for OCC and to get these boxes going. Last year, Central became a drop-off site for OCC. Our site here collected 501 boxes last year that went on to the processing center. This year, the week is November 15th through the 22nd. Here again, we'll be a drop-off site again. Naturally, we need some help. And I've put a sign-up sheet out in the Northex. If you feel led to help out that week, please sign your name and all that, or contact me and I'll kind of fill you in where we need you, okay? Any questions, please come to Ken or I, and we'll be glad to answer them. But most of all, I challenge each of you to pray for that little boy or girl that's going to get your shoebox.
Also, we have boxes. We have some of them over in the multi-purpose building. Are there some back in the back? There's some right back there in the back. You can take those boxes. And I'll tell you this, Bev is really, really nice. My deal is helping pack them up. If you get one of our boxes, they fit in the containers that we have to put them in really, really nice. I'm not going to say don't go out and get the plastic ones, but I'll probably think of some things that don't please Jesus when I have to handle your box. I'm kidding. We'll take whatever you got. But we do have boxes that you can pick up that we're going to pack that will actually take them to the next position that they'll go to be delivered. How important is it? And I will say this, if you're not sure, if you're not computer savvy or whatever, and you want to do the online thing, come by the church. We will help you get that done. We will, you know, Debbie can help you in the office, and we'll turn around when you punch your card number in or something, but we'll
we'll help you any way we can to make this as good as possible for you, that you might someday get one of those letters from one of those little children, or maybe even the box you prayed for, the child that was touched that came to know the Lord, is part of the videos that you'll see a couple of testimonies as we go forward during this time. So don't forget that. Those dates are coming up really quick. Just a couple of announcements for you. There is a building and grounds meeting today at 4 o'clock. And our monthly church conference is tonight at 7. Now, I'm not sure if David's going to be here tonight or not. Donna had a setback last night. She is doing better. I think they were moving her to a room. I don't have all the details on that, but we think it was more of an episode. So I think she's through the episode, and I think it's going to be okay. But do continue to keep her in your prayers as we go forward. Also, continue to remember those that have lost loved ones. So good to see our guys, Bill. Good to see your face today, brother. Continue to pray for Bill and Bill and JC and Larry, and we have so many folks who are having some life's adjustment over this past year and a half. And I actually was in Virginia yesterday to do the funeral of a girl that I went to high school with's husband. So mid-50s, and she is now a widow. It's tragic. So continue to remember these folks as we lift them in our prayers, that God will comfort them in a way that only He can. Also coming up this week, October 17th through 23rd, birthdays. Monday, Tammy Gardner is having a birthday this coming Monday. Doris Wright on Monday as well. On Saturday, you've got Randy Stewart and Sue Hubler. So if you see those folks or send cards, be sure to shoot them a card out there, as well as anniversaries. Sunday, Joanne and John Willard will be celebrating an anniversary. I'm not saying which one because I don't know. But anyway, they're having an anniversary, as well as Doc Pete and Sandra. They've got one coming up on Saturday. So she hasn't put him to death and continues to live with him. Hallelujah. A picture of grace. But at any rate, be sure to let these folks know you love them. You'll be celebrating with them. Is there anything I've forgotten before we pray? All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. You can stand. I know you've been sitting for a while, whichever you feel comfortable with. And as you do that, always remember this. If you feel like you need to stand up, stand up. If you feel like you need to sit down, sit down, whether we're doing worship or whatever. Nobody's going to look at you funny. Do what you need to do and feel best and most comfortable with, okay? All right, let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We're grateful for your love in our life. But Lord, help us to be able to pray like Jesus did and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, we pray that you will help use us. And that means that they're going to be coming across times in our lives that your plan is not going to be ours, and we're probably not going to like some of the things that you've asked us to do. But Lord, as long as you've asked us to do them, then you anticipate and expect for us to follow your will. Help us to be like Jesus and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. As we go away from here today, Lord, may we be blessed in a way that we will be a blessing to someone else. Help us as we prepare for these children that will receive these Operation Christmas Child boxes. Lord, we know it's not just about the little gifts, although they're important. It's more about the fact that they will get to hear about our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift them in prayer to you right now. Give us a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.